In life, we often face things that seem impossible. There are walls that come at us, challenges that we encounter, people that betray us, pains too difficult to endure, and they all become defining moments for us, critical crossroads, walls in our lives that we have to get past. For some here, just the sheer aspect of rejection has been a wall that has defined the basis by which you've lived your life. And then all of a sudden, you come to church today and we look at the story of what happens when we face our walls. And today we look at this because if we are to be who God intends for us to be, we have to grab hold of the point and the lesson that we see here today and let that become the defining part of who we are. Because what you discover is that everything about our walls is defined by our faith, what we trust God to be able to do. And today we find ourselves in a passage as we've been walking through the book of Joshua. We find ourselves at a unique place because we find ourselves where Jesus shows up. At a critical moment when Joshua needs to hear from him the most, God shows up and ends up giving very clear instructions to him, of which the most profound part was for Joshua to take his shoes off because he was standing on holy ground. And you see, the reality is when you're facing a wall, you are standing on holy ground to let God guide you through that. So I want to ask you a question. Have you ever hit a wall? You ever hit a wall where you just go, you know what? I don't know which way to go. I don't know which way to turn. Things seem so overwhelming. I find myself captured by the issues that are in front of me. And I hit that wall. You see, we've lived in a day, haven't we, where economic challenges have caused people to hit walls. Spiritual challenges have caused people to hit walls. We've seen earthquakes and we've seen tornadoes and we've seen hurricanes cause people to hit walls. We live in a chaotic day, and yet, if you can imagine for a second, put yourself in a place of those who were God's people. They had wandered in disobedience for 40 years because they had made a choice to do it their way instead of God's way. They finally come back to obedience. They cross over the water, and as they cross over the water, they look at the biggest obstacle they'll ever have, and that is, will their faith take those walls down? And I want to say to you that the only way you and I can ever get where God intends for us to go is to look at our walls and let God tear those walls down. Because if we don't live by faith, we'll miss the very best of life. And so today I want to challenge you to look at your own walls, and here's what you're going to discover. Some walls are really ugly. Some walls have been there so long that they're overgrown, vines grow around them, roots of bitterness have sprung up around them, pain and difficulty surround them. And then all of a sudden you come to a place at church today and you go, you know what, that's not where I want to be. I don't want to live in that place where I keep looking at that wall and not seeing the wall fall. I want to instead see that wall fall, and I want to see God do what only He can do. I want to ask you a question. When you hit your wall, what lessons did you learn at the wall? At your walls, what lessons did you learn? Did you learn something? I know for me, there have been a lot of unique and challenging walls that I've hit in life. Different things that I didn't understand at the time, but those walls would define my life. I can remember growing up in an alcoholic home and what kind of wall that was. Because that wall said to me, you're never going to measure up. You're always going to be insecure because you're living in a world where insecurity reigns in the lives of those who are your parents, those who guide you. I can remember getting further into life and realizing that there were different moments where I just hit walls. And I'd come back to those issues and I'd say, okay, wait a minute now, I got to knock this wall down. And it's interesting because oftentimes those who are around you don't even understand the thickness of the walls, the height of the walls that you're facing, and all of a sudden, if you're not careful, the wall surrounds you completely. And then you have to ask yourself, what lessons did I learn? Did I learn how to be who I'm supposed to be from those walls? And if we live through them by faith, we'll learn amazing things. So I want you to turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11 just for a moment, because I want to show you a couple verses that help us understand the whole concept of what we're going to see today. Because today we're going to see, by the time we finish, we're going to see some amazing lessons that are critical to our journey. And I can tell you this, if you walk out of church today with a conviction that you are going to live by faith, even, listen carefully, if the doctor says one thing, if certain reports say one thing, if the checkbook says one thing, whatever it is you're encountering, if you learn this lesson, how valuable this lesson will be for you. Because anything not of faith is sin. And notice, if you would, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30. It brings us to the summation of what the writer of Hebrews said about the walls falling in Jericho. Notice what it says there. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. And by faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. Look, if you would, at those first two words of verse 30 and verse 31. By faith. In other words, the willingness to trust beyond what they could see. Here's the question you have to ask yourself. As the people of God marched around those walls of Jericho, they had to march by faith because only God could take those walls down. And what you and I discover is when we face things that we can't take down on our own, it is God who takes those down. It is God who equips us to be able to face them. It is God who empowers us to live effectively and to be able to move through those things and trust Him in the midst of them. Now, when you think about that, you realize something. Those walls of Jericho showed up in the greatest chapter on faith in the Bible. Because when you look at chapter 11 of Hebrews, it's there that the writer acknowledges all those who have lived and acted by faith. And it's interesting because you see Rahab showing up. And it's interesting because we realize that here's a story. She faced the insurmountable wall of the choice she had made and the consequences of it related to her own disobedience when she became a harlot. But then she made this amazing decision that didn't make sense to anybody. In fact, I'm sure her own family said, "What are you doing? Hosting two spies." But you're going to see by the time we finish today that those same two spies who went in and found Rahab and she protected them, those same two spies are the ones who knock on her door when all the wall is gone except where she lives. And they welcome her into their family. So it says something to you and me. It says something we need to learn as we look at this passage, because what you discover is that when you face walls in life, God's instructions are not optional. They're absolutely essential. Obedience is essential. You see, what happens here is they come to the place where they have to do what it is God told them to do. Because if they don't do it, they'll miss the essence of a great life. And listen carefully. Even if the odds are 85 million to one, you're better to bank on God than anything else that comes your way. Because what you discover is, with God, all things are possible. Isn't that what Jesus said over and over again as people would come at Him with different issues and different challenges? And all of a sudden, His response would come, "With God, all things are possible." And you see, what you and I discover is, how do we see those things that are impossible become possible? We live by faith. We live by faith. In fact, this entire story of Joshua, it's not about walls falling. It's about faith. It's about the people being willing to trust God. So today we find ourselves learning these lessons that are very valuable. But not only that, not only do we find ourselves at that place where we say, "Man, I got to learn this and not miss it," but you find yourself at it's an unorthodox spot. It's an unusual spot because they're told to do things that don't make any sense. You see, they don't have any weapons of significance to be able to knock walls down. Can't knock gates down. They don't have any of the equipping to be able to say, "Hey, bring that bulldozer in. We're going to knock that down." I mean, wouldn't that have been something that a bulldozer just come in and knock it all down? But the reality is they didn't have anything. But here's what you discover. That God sometimes and oftentimes uses the unorthodox and the unusual to do the most amazing things. In fact, when you think about it, when he starts doing these unorthodox, unusual things, it's there that we can determine our direction and follow God into an amazing journey of faith. That's what I want you to see today. You see, it didn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense for them to march around a wall and to wait for a moment and then to shout and for a trumpet to blow, a ram's horn to blow. It didn't make any sense. It was absolutely unusual. And yet, it was God's way. And what you discover is sometimes, it won't make any sense even to you, but you keep trusting Him. You keep believing in Him. You keep anchoring yourself in Him. Because what happens oftentimes is we let our finite minds get in the way of the infinite power of God to be able to do amazing things. I've watched even some of our members have journeyed towards a deep, abiding, powerful faith in the midst of circumstances that if you just took the circumstances, they would encompass you and steal your joy, steal your hope, steal your direction. But they instead said, "I will trust Him." Isn't that what Job meant when he said, "Though they slay me, yet will I trust Him"? What did Job say? He was saying, "You know what? It may not matter to anybody else, and it may cost me everything, but I'm going to keep trusting God. I'm going to keep relying on Him." And when we see this, we realize that as we turn to Joshua chapter 5, that it's here at the end of this text that we see something really powerful happening. And as we come into His house on this day, may it be said of us that we opened our hearts up to allow God to speak to us. You see, no matter what age you are, no matter what you're going through, the question is your heart open or is your heart closed? Because if your heart is open, something powerful will happen. I've been watching as our young adults are having their babies and watching the joy on their faces as those little ones come into their world and watching as they, it's almost mesmerized by every little one that comes our way. And as I watch their face, I realize that they have great joy. But as I see that great joy, I always say, Lord, give them great faith. Give them great faith to believe that God could use their child, that God could use that little one to make an eternal difference in our world. And what you see here is as you get to Joshua chapter 5, verse 13, something begins to happen. And obviously, this is preparation. Watch this. This is preparation for Jericho. So I want you to get this and not miss it. We all have our Jerichos. We all have our Jerichos. How we face them will determine our direction for the rest of our life. If we face our Jerichos, then we will move through them with power. But if we walk away from them, those Jerichos will define who we are. And I can tell you, as a pastor, being a pastor for many years and counseling thousands of people, the reason someone doesn't get where God intends for them to go is often defined by their Jericho, by what they lived through, by the circumstance they faced, by the feelings they felt, and by the response they gave. All of a sudden, they missed because Jericho was still there. And listen carefully. No matter how difficult life has been, no matter how challenging, when you come to your Jericho, do not walk away from it and say, I'll face that wall another day. Listen, if you look into the mirror and you see something less than Jesus, look back again. Because listen carefully. If someone has distorted how you see yourself, look back and see who God made and rejoice in that. Because God has designed everything beautiful in His eyes. He has made it all perfect in His eyes. He wants to accomplish His purpose for your life and for mine as we yield ourselves to it. So here's what we discover. In chapter 5, verse 13, Joshua is at a point where he's really deeply thinking about that something, thinking about what he has to face, because he has an assignment. He has an assignment. He doesn't know exactly what he's supposed to do. Anybody ever had one of those? You ever had a life assignment where you realize, I don't know how to make it through this? I have some very perplexing dynamics that I deal with oftentimes. And those perplexing dynamics cause me to get on my knees and say, Lord, you got to show me how to make it through this. So here's Joshua. He's facing something he doesn't understand. And in fact, in verse 13, it gives the idea that he's all alone and he's out walking around. You ever find yourself doing that? Just being alone and saying, Lord, I need you to speak to me. I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to turn. I want to turn towards you. I want to knock this wall down. Well, here he's out walking, and all of a sudden, somebody shows up, and it's Jesus in the Old Testament. Notice, if you would, verse 13, chapter 5. Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho, they lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no. Rather, I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, what has my Lord to say to his servant? The captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Now, I want you to stop there, and because what you see is something happens that changed Joshua's basis of functioning as it related to Jericho. God showed up. And what you discover is something, and I want to show you four things not to miss today. Because one of the things we have to learn today is we've got to follow the Lord as He reveals Himself to us. In other words, when the Lord shows up, we've got to follow Him. And it may, listen carefully, it is not about sensibility. It's about obedience. It's about knowing that God wants you to do something very powerful with your life where you obey Him. And what you discover here is, here he is, and he encounters the Lord, and he says, are you for us or are you against us? You know, notice here in verse 14, Jesus says, here in the pre-incarnate state, he shows up and says, no. In other words, this is not about us or them. This is about me. because I'm the guy who's in charge of this whole battle. I'm the guy who's going to lead you all the way home. And what you discover is, as he speaks those words, what happens, Joshua? All of a sudden, if you imagine for a second, he takes his shoes off. And he falls down and he begins to worship. And here's why, and this is why you know it's God. Because Joshua would learn you don't bow down to somebody else. Joshua would learn you bow down to God. And he put those shoes aside, those shoes that he had worn for those 40 years wandering because of disobedience by the people. I mean, 40 years, imagine a second, you're Joshua. 40 years you have been waiting for the moment to deal with everything that was created by the wall of disobedience. He takes his shoes off and he falls down and worships. And when you see this unfold, one of the things that happens that you see is there's no greater experience in life than God revealing himself to you. It's when he comes and speaks to you that makes the most amazing difference. I had a day this week where I got up and I had three specific things I needed to study in preparation for time coming up. And I had about four or five other very significant things. And when I woke up that morning, I said, Lord, I just need you to visit my heart, speak to me, let me hear with clarity what you're saying, and I want to be able to follow completely what it is you have. That day started good and it ended fabulous. It didn't mean I didn't have challenges and issues. In fact, amazingly, I had committed to teach at our men's retreat that is going to be happening here in just a short while, coming up in a couple weekends. And so Eddie had told me, he said, well, you're going to be teaching one lesson, and Pastor Larry's going to teach one lesson, and we're just going to have a great time together. That's how he introduced the whole concept of me doing the men's retreat. Well, I thought, well, you know, I'll get something together for 45 minutes, 40 minutes, and we'll have a great time focusing on something very powerful. Well, then he gave me the actual schedule. And I looked at the schedule, and I had like 2 hours. And I'm looking at Eddie like, you want me to talk for like 2 solid hours? Yeah, just do one little message. One little message for 2 hours? I'm thinking, I can't do that. So as I look at the schedule, I realize I got to study two messages. I got to say two things. And so I began studying. And then he said to me, now, at the second day of the schedule, it has on there that it has just said, Brother Gerald, wrap up. All right? And so I'm reading that wrap up. That means you come together for 5 minutes and say, man, I hope you guys got it. I hope it was a great time. The Lord bless you as you go back home and see you on Sunday. No. Eddie gives me 45 more minutes to wrap this message up again. And I'm thinking, you know what? He's really testing my faith. And when he said that to me, I said, Lord, you know what? I ask you to do amazing things. Would you show me yourself as I walk through this? And let me tell you what I discovered. One of those rare days in my journey as a pastor, when I got home, I walked in the house and I said to Cindy, everything I needed to do, God helped me do today. And it was such an amazing, let me tell you, God revealed himself. Listen carefully. When you are facing a wall, remember the Lord is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. But let's look on though, because the second thing you see in chapter 6, this story is unfolding, by the way. The text is broken up into chapters, but the story is unfolding. Because now they're facing Jericho. That Joshua's looking at the wall. Look what happens there. Now Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. No one went out and no one came in. And watch this. The Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hands with its king and the valiant warriors. You see, what God was teaching Joshua was something very powerful. He was saying, stand in your victory when you face your walls. In other words, don't stand there doubting. Don't stand there defeated. Don't stand there overwhelmed by it. Don't stand there frightened by it. He says, stand in your victory. This is yours. And when you look at in the text there in verse 2 where it says, I have given, the tense of that, spoken in the original language, was what you and I would say, good as done. Absolutely validated, it's going to happen. And what was that all about? It was all about affirming his faith. It's good, it's done. Have you ever had somebody, you know, their word's absolutely good? You don't have to question it at all. It's good, it's done. If they say to you, for example, I'm going to take care of such and such, you know it's going to happen because their word is good. Let me tell you what you see here. The Lord comes to Joshua and says, look, man, my word is good. You don't ever have to doubt it. Look at your victory. It is yours. And you know what you and I need to learn today as we sit in this house? If you're looking at a wall that seems insurmountable, look at that wall not through your eyes but the Lord's eye, who can take what is crooked and make it straight and can guide you all the way through whatever it is you're facing. And ask yourself the question, where is my faith? Where is my faith? Can I believe him for great things? And let me tell you, I'm a living testimony that I face walls all the time. Sometimes it's in people's life story. I encounter a wall trying to figure out how to move them forward, how to help them see that God would allow them to come to victory, come to a place of absolute experience where God is with them. Facing one right now, they're not a part of our church or anything else, but it's a challenging, challenging wall for me. Because what happens is they're young and understanding what faith does. And it's hard for them to see that they can trust beyond their circumstances to see God do it. But let me tell you, God will carry you all the way home. In fact, when you look at this, here they are. And he says, I'm giving it to you, and you're going to have the king. You're going to have everybody. What you really see here, faith sees beyond the obstacle to the blessing. When you get really oriented to faith, where you really believe in God, it absolutely carries you beyond yourself to see that God is with you. And it sees beyond that obstacle. You ever notice how we process things oftentimes? Oftentimes we process things by how many obstacles, how many variables we have here. In fact, I was at a conference a couple weeks ago, and I heard a man make a statement that was the most powerful statement. He didn't even have any idea how powerful it was to me. He looked at the group, and there were 10 men and women who were a part of strategically processing the opportunity to take the gospel and take discipleship into the lives of those who are coming to Christ. Do you know how many hundreds of thousands of people around the world are looking for Jesus every single day? They Google salvation. They Google Jesus. They Google answer to their problems. So we're in this meeting, and we're in the middle of trying to process through how all that would work in order to position things for effectiveness for the future. And this man looked, and as he began this 2 hours, it was 2 hours, 12 hours each day, very intense. And he said, today we're not here to look at problems, we're here to look at opportunities. And as he said that, I said to myself, do you know what we often do in life? We look at our problems. I pulled up my driveway this week, and I looked at the corner eave of my house, and a squirrel had decided to start living in my house. Had chewed the board down, had opened a hole up there. And I sat there thinking, I can't reach that spot. I don't get on ladders. I was looking at all the problems I had because of that squirrel. The only difference was I had a friend named Eddie. And my thought was, as I pulled up to that driveway, if I can do 3 sermons for his 1 45-minute deal he had, he can put some sheet metal in that spot and let that squirrel realize he's not living in my house. But you know, the truth is, we look at our problems, don't we? And what could have Joshua done here? I mean, you can't miss it. Joshua could have looked at his problems, couldn't he? Joshua could have said, you know what, we can't make it happen. But he didn't. And that's why in verse 3, he starts getting instructions about what he's supposed to do, and he starts giving the people instruction. And here's what I want you to never miss. We must always be inspired by instructions that come from above. In other words, when God says to us, I want you to do this. And what you're going to hear in a moment is you hear a testimony of people who have just said yes to what God's instructions are. When we hear these testimonies, it ought to grab our attention and cause us to do what ultimately God wants every child of his to do, and that is follow the instructions. Look at verse 3 and notice how the instructions unfold. You shall march around the city, all the men of war circling the city once. You shall do so for 6 days. Also, 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark. Then on the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. Now, you'll notice there's a very interesting number here, isn't it? What's the number you see? You see 7, don't you? You see the number of completion, the number of perfection. You see God saying, do it my way. What's 6? 6 is not a good number, is it? Because 6 leans on the wrong direction. But 7 is a perfect number. It was God's number. And what he says, I want you to do these things 7 different times. Now, here's what you, and I want to, we're not going to read through all the verses of the story, but I want to kind of show you what God tells them to do. Because there are 4 things he tells them to do. The first thing he tells them very clearly is march in silence. In other words, I want you to walk around this wall but I don't want you to say a thing. And you're going to march. Jericho at that time was about 320 acres, so they could obviously make it in a day's time. They could walk around. But can you imagine the children? I mean, I don't know if any of you have children that actually talk, but can you imagine after about the first 100 yards, Mom, how long are we walking? And a mother sitting there saying, quiet, we're supposed to be silent. I want to ask you a question. What do you do when God tells you to be silent? You keep yapping? You keep talking? You keep saying, Lord, tell me what I need to do? Or you just stop in silence? So he tells them to march in silence. Then he tells them to wait with patience. I mean, how do we know that? Because they don't get to see it happen all of a sudden. Look at verse 11 there. So he had the ark of the Lord taken around the city, circling it once. And then they came into the camp and spent the night in camp. What you see here is each day they're doing particular things. The warriors are going first. The priests are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and after that are all the families coming behind, the children, the moms, and all that. And don't you know at this particular juncture, all the men who are warriors are glad they're not having to march with all their kids? Because to try to keep all the kids silent and to keep them patient, the warriors were up ahead of that. And what you discover sometimes, listen carefully, when we are quiet and when we are patient, God has the opportunity to be able to do amazing things. We just have to be willing to wait on the Lord. Because then he'll renew your strength, the Bible said. You'll mount up with wings like eagles. You'll run and not grow weary. It's all about waiting. But then you'll notice a third instruction he gives them, and that is when they come to the right point. In verse 16, at the seventh time, if you've gone around this thing seven times on the seventh day, the priest will blow the trumpets. Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And what you see here is they come to this moment where they have to shout with decisiveness. Oftentimes, we have to learn how to shout to make it happen. When you face a wall, don't go at it like some wimp thinking, hey, I can't make this happen. Go at it knowing that God can do anything. I mean, go at it powerfully. Let it be an expression of who you are. We have to be really decisive, don't we? We got to express ourselves. And they shouted with decisiveness. And let me tell you what they shouted with, too. They shouted with faith. They believed that God was going to do it. There's only one other thing I want you to show you what God does for them. He says something to them so valuable, and Joshua echoes this, and that is, avoid the danger of doing what I told you not to do, because it is dangerous. Look, if you would, at this last concept. Verse 17, the city shall be under the ban. It and all that is in it belongs to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot and all who are with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But as for you, only keep for yourself from the things under the ban, so that you do not covet them or take some of the things under the ban and make the camp of Israel accursed and bring trouble on it. But all the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron are only to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord. You see, when you look at this, I mean, there's a concept here. You always act in obedience to God's command. They were simple command. Did they act in obedience at this point? Everybody but Achan. And as a result, when we act that way, you'll experience something that others miss entirely. When we act in obedience, you see, here's what you see in this as this story unfolds. They're told, get ready to blow seven times. Get ready to march 7 days. Get ready to watch what happens when seven priests take care of this responsibility they have. And you're going to experience something totally amazing. And listen carefully. What you and I need to do is learn to act in obedience and watch him work and watch what he does for our life. Let's look on at one final principle, because as this wraps together, there's one final thing I want you not to miss. And that is, as it unfolds, you see, as Rahab is living in that house in verse 17, we read this verse where she is in that house and she's supposed to keep herself completely from it. And verse 20, so the priest blew and shouted and they went in and they did exactly what they're supposed to do. They destroyed everything. But I want you to look at verse 22, because I want you to contrast the story here. Because when you look at this, this is where you watch with expectancy as God fulfills his promise. All right, and here's what I want you to see in verse 22. Two men had gone to Rahab's house under the instruction of the Lord by Joshua to check it all out. Rahab had protected them, had tied a scarlet thread in her window, and made sure that if they said, if you'll keep your word, we'll keep our word, and you will live. You and anybody in your house who wants to live there. Anybody in your family. So all of a sudden, look at verse 22. So Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, go into the harlot's house, bring the woman and all she has out of there, as you have sworn to her. So the young men who were spies went in and brought Rahab and her father and her mother and her brothers and all she had. They also brought all her relatives and placed them outside the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire and all that was in it. I want you to think about it for a second. Here's Rahab. First of all, the two guys that knock on the door are the only two of God's people that they know, that she knows at all. And everybody in her house, her dad, her mom, her family, all of her relatives, I'm going to ask you, can you imagine third cousins hearing that Rahab has got a protective house? Everybody has run to that house who's chosen to be obedient. And so they go in and they knock on the door. They move her out of the house, and the promise is fulfilled. I mean, look at the story of Rahab as it unfolds through the lineage of Jesus. The promise is fulfilled. And she goes and they put her outside the camp and they give her a place to stay, and she watches as all of Jericho falls, burned with fire. But what she does, she was absolutely elevated because she obeyed. And what you and I need to see when we look at this passage is God elevated Joshua because he chose to obey. He obeyed what it was that God said. He obeyed his promise, and something powerful happened. So I want to ask you a question today, because I hope you've got this today, because this is so important about how life works, because we all face walls. What are you going to do with your walls? Are you going to face your walls? Are you going to tackle them? You're going to let them guide you through your life? Listen, if you're here today and you're looking for an answer, that feeling you have of looking for an answer, it all rests in the Lord. Let him guide you. There's something powerful about letting him be in charge of your life. And so as you think about your own life, what do you do with your walls? By faith, they fall. Watch this. By fear, they stand. By faith, they fall. By fear, they stand. The question is, which camp are you going to live in? Because the people of God learned something. They learned better to camp with faith and trust God than to live with fear. And you're going to see next week what happens when one guy misses the message and how it affects a whole bunch of people. May we not miss the message of what God has for us today. And that is, we are to live by faith and watch him work. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for the power of your word. Speaks to our lives, speaks to our hearts. Thank you for what you've said in our hearts today, that by faith, the walls fell. And Lord, I think about the faith we all need. Help anyone here who's looking for their wall to fall to realize it is by faith to take that step. And I pray, Lord, that you would move in this place. Touch the hearts of those who are looking for an answer. And we'll bless you for that in Christ's name. Amen.